You know, I think I started hearing it already from many this morning, this sense of fitting in with what it means to be able to celebrate Christmas. Expectations sometimes get in our way, don't they? Sometimes we have an expectation of great things that are going to happen at Christmas, and oftentimes great things do happen at Christmas, but maybe not the expectations that we have. There's something sometimes difficult about those expectations when we get let down. You know, unmet expectations, or possibly unrealistic expectations to begin with. We were talking about this morning, huh, Dick? It's always better to keep our expectations low, that way you're not disappointed. That's right. But I think there's something of what God has for us that says that's not exactly it. That may keep it from some of the hurt of those unmet expectations, but that really isn't where we are to build our hopes, dreams, and expectations either. Maybe at Christmas time, I mean, it's simple to say, you know, maybe you didn't get the gift you were hoping for. You know, what would that movie, The Christmas Story, have been had Ralphie not gotten the Red Ryder BB gun? That would have been a terrible movie if he hadn't gotten that gift. If all he had gotten was that funny, was it a bunny pajamas outfit? Yeah, if that's really all he got, what a horrible, terrible movie that would have been. That'd been a nightmare movie. But we do have dreams of what we might get. Or you didn't get the reaction, you know, a gift you got for somebody, and they said, oh, that's nice. And it's like, oh, man, I put a lot of time, effort, thought, you know, love into that. And I was really hoping that it would have a bigger impact. But I know as we become adults, usually it's more about those who we miss. Things just don't, you know, aren't the way they once were. And so it begins to take away a little of that. So the expectations we have are often unmet, and they flow out of this sense of either loss begins to take that away, or this having to wait on things in life. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about expectations today. We're going to move through the Christmas story, okay? So we've been in the Christmas story with Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. You know, the baby is born, the angels appear to the shepherds, they proclaim good news of great joy that'll be for all people. And the shepherds go running and they see the baby and they're amazed. It's just like the angels had said, and they're just blown away. And so they begin to share this good news. And I'm sure people in Bethlehem are saying, what in the world are they talking about? I'm sure it didn't make any sense that there's a baby who was born. He's over in a stable. And he's the savior of the world. We know so because we just saw angels out on the fields. And the people in Bethlehem probably saying, what were you guys drinking while you were out there in the fields? I mean, come on, this is a crazy story. But it goes on. It goes on, and it talks about expectations. As we move on, just a little bit later, after the baby has been born, Mary and Joseph bring him into Jerusalem, bring him to the temple to have him dedicated. And it's in the temple that we run across a couple of characters in the Christmas story that we often overlook. But I think they're there for us for a reason. Luke puts them here on purpose. And so I want to just deal with what is it going on here for a gentleman by the name of Simeon and a woman by the name of Anna. And what's happening here as they are expecting something, they are looking forward to something, they are waiting with anticipation. And you know, when we wait with anticipation on the wrong things, we're always going to be disappointed. But when we wait with anticipation on the right things, and we'll talk about what that is on God's faithfulness and on the promise of his goodness to us, we are always, we will never be disappointed. And we see that's going on here for Simeon and for Anna. So after the story begins, we are going to just talk a little bit about that, because in this first century, when Jesus comes and the shepherds are yelling, "Woo! The Messiah is here," and the people are hearing that, they don't know, because in that time there was a lot of different expectations what the Messiah would be. You know, would he be the one who would throw off the shackles of Rome? Would he be the one who would take David's throne back and raise Israel's political prestige in the world, because now there's a king who rules over Israel? Would there be all this other stuff of all the famine and the hardship and the difficulty of life, that somehow this return to glory of the old days was going to somehow work out? And so we see here, let's jump into Luke 2, Simeon and Anna here in the temple. Now, in verse 25, it says this, and just walk with me here. I'll just read it. If you've got your Bible app in hand or your Bible, you can walk along with me. I'm in 2:25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. That's all we know about him. He only is here for this brief moment, and then he goes away. We never hear of him again, but here he is. He is righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took the baby in his arms and raised him to God and said, now, this is an interesting thing. This, like this in the Gospel of Luke, this is kind of a common theme how Luke does this. We see it when Mary, when she realizes, when Elizabeth tells her that the baby she has is going to be the Messiah. She's already heard that from the angel, and she makes her proclamation. She has a psalm called Mary's Song in chapter 1. A little later, we have Zechariah's song. This is where, again, led by the Holy Spirit, Zechariah, at the birth of his son John, who will become John the Baptist, has this utterance, this prophetic utterance that comes out, guided by the Holy Spirit, and it is captured here in Luke. And Luke does it a third time here with the words of Simeon. He says that he is led by the Holy Spirit, and he speaks these words. It is something that I don't think Simeon came to church that day expecting to say. But here, led by the Holy Spirit, these are his words. Sovereign Lord, you have promised you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Those are powerful words, and you can see that as the story goes on, the child's father and mother marveled when they heard him say this, which is remarkable. Think about it. What's going to cause Mary and Joseph to marvel about these words? They've already encountered angels saying, hey, girl, you're going to have a child even though you're a virgin. And she's going to say, no, how can that be? And he's going to say, no worries, this is God's business. He's going to take care of it. And that child you're going to have, Mary, yeah, he's going to be the Savior of the world. In fact, he's going to be called the Son of God. Mind blown yet, Mary? Come on. And yet these words, she marvels at. Something is going on even for young Mary, even for young Joseph, as they are here encountering now in the miracle of seeing the baby, of hearing about the angels, of seeing the shepherds rush in, of recognizing that what had been promised to them was being completed. And the expectation of what this child would be is now being affirmed. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause a falling and rising of many in Israel and will be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and the sword and a sword will pierce your soul too. Christmas isn't just about joy, is it? Life isn't just about joy. There's sadness. There's brokenness. And Simeon is letting Mary know that her path is going to be difficult. But he doesn't say it here, but Mary seems to be okay with it because of what she has already heard from the angel. That what's going to happen to you is okay, and that God has got you covered. That there's going to be difficulty, but you can be assured of this. That God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. There is something that God is going to always have and he's going to always hold, and it's going to be okay. Maybe Mary's expectation needed a little bit of tempering here. Maybe her words, hearing this, that I'm going to bear the Messiah, maybe she's thinking this is going to be something more than it really is for her. But she is being reminded that this will be a difficult path. There was also a prophet named Anna, the daughter of Penuel, from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. She had lived, and your versions may differ on this. It's hard the way the language actually refers to the numbers here. But it says that she had lived with her husband for 7 years in marriage, and then after she was a widow, she had lived until she was 84. Some different versions read that differently. You know, maybe she's even older than 84, but she is an older woman at this point. And she never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying, coming up to them that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child and to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So this is what we see, that there is a consolation of Israel, that they are saying this is what has happened in this child. And for Anna, it is a redemption of Jerusalem. And as you look through, and again, these words cause them to marvel, that there's something really, really unique about who this Jesus is and what he is bringing into the world. It's this unrealistic expectations that often were surrounded around Jesus, which become a problem later in Jesus' life when people see him walking and they say that he doesn't look like a Messiah. He's not gathering an army. Or when he goes to the cross and they're hanging him on the cross, they're saying, see, he's not a Messiah, because certainly the Messiah is not going to die. There's all kinds of things. They're saying he can't be the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. Nazareth is nothing. It's a bad place. It's a place where nothing good comes from. And so all these things of expectations are always going to seemingly be unmet, because Jesus didn't line up to everyone's expectations. But as we see the Old Testament, he lines up to the Old Testament's expectations. We talked about this verse a week ago out of Micah chapter 5. It says this, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. That's an important piece there. Whose origins are from old, from ancient times. There's a couple of things in here. Of course, we in this Christmas season recognize that this is the foretelling of where the child will be born, out of Bethlehem. But the key piece here is that expectation that he would somehow be a ruler. Over and over again through that, the prophetic expectation was that he would somehow take the throne or be in the line of the King David. And so that these things were all lining up, that he was going to be a person who would gather the nation of Israel. Some versions refer to this as a shepherd for my people, Israel. But that's not all he would be a leader. Again, we see it, if we look back through, I'm not going to do all of the Old Testament, it would take us about 3 years. So I'm not going to do that, but we want to get through this just a little bit. There's a lot of other prophecy that spoke about what Jesus' role, his expectation could be. In Isaiah 53, 5 says this about the coming Messiah, that he would be pierced for our transgressions, he would be crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace would be upon him, and by his wounds we would be healed. Again, this speaks to, again, that the Messiah was coming not just to be a earthly ruler, but also to be the source of our forgiveness and the hope that we have that sins that we have committed could be made clean, not by our work or our perfection, but by his grace and by his wounds. We see this as we look at the New Testament. We see Jesus on the cross, and we say that's exactly what he was talking about. But again, many could not see that because that was not their expectation. And I think that's what gets in our ways sometimes. When life doesn't go the way we hope, we begin to think that God let me down because my expectations weren't met. Life's not turning out the way I thought. I go through a difficult patch. I lose someone. I lose a relationship. Things begin to unwind. I lose my health. I wonder about what's coming next. I lose my job. I lose a sense of identity because I'm not longer doing the job that I once did. Whatever that may be, that we have this expectation life should go a certain way, and when it's based on just what I want, it's always going to take us far afield. What we need to begin to come and set our hearts upon is on what God says, who he is, and what he says we are to be about. The final piece of the expectation I want to touch on today, this also comes from Isaiah chapter 7, where it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. We hear that. We know that's Christmas. Okay, we got it. But the last part is the most significant piece, because this is the gift of Christmas. and will call him Emmanuel. When call him Emmanuel refers to this idea that this gift of Christmas is not going to be a gift under the tree. It's not going to be us getting all the things we ever wanted. It's not being us having just a rose garden of life. But there's going to be a gift to us, which is Emmanuel, literally interpreted as God is with us. So this is almost like a little hidden code in the midst of the Old Testament that is here for us to say all of our expectations get met when we see what his gift is for us. This is the promise of his presence with us. That is the gift of Christmas to us. It is this gift that I will always be there for you, that there is no sin that cannot be forgiven. It is the gift that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. It is the gift that no matter where you are, no matter how far you have walked, no matter how far that loved one of yours has walked even further, God, no matter how where that may be, that the gift is that there is always time, there is always room, there is always this opportunity to return to this place of having God with us. And that becomes a beautiful gift. Because that steps into our unmet expectations, doesn't it? That steps into that place of, I don't want that prognosis of cancer. I don't want that broken relationship. I don't want to deal with that person who has now moved away, and it hurts my heart every time I'm unable to be with them. But yet there is this gift that Christ has offered to us, this God with us, that becomes the answer for us as well. This is the consolation of Israel. This is the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the fulfillment of the expectations that people had for centuries, that one day God would make things right. Not by creating a new kingdom, not by creating a new bloodline for a monarchy, but by opening the door that we might have Holy Spirit living within us. Expectations. This is where we root them. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is where we get far afield with our expectations. It's all based on our own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Again, he doesn't say that he is going to make the path that you choose straight. But if you lean on him and walk in his path, that path for you will be straight. He invites us to a place of trust and to receive the gift which he has offered to us, which is the healing for those broken expectations that sometimes life throws our way. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunity this morning of gathering once again, of just being here in the light of Christmas morning, of being in the shadow of the Christmas tree and in the glow of the lights that are all around us. All the things in life that bring a sense of goodness and happiness and joy, but also mixed in with all that is broken and sad and out of place. Father, we bring it all here before you. And we ask that you would begin to do for us what only you can do, which is making our paths straight. So help us. Help us to look to you. Help us to lean on you. Help us to lean into you and not just on my own hopes, dreams, wants, and wishes. Help us to lean into you, not just on our own understanding, our own rights and our demands for getting our way. But help us to find you in the midst of this season. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.